Let us then turn in God's words to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we will begin reading at verse 9 and read through the end of the chapter. As we continue looking at the part of our life which is thanksgiving to God as Romans lays it out. Of course, we know that the Catechism follows the outline of Romans. First of all, the problem of our sin and misery in the first few chapters of Romans. And then it deals with how we are to be saved. And now we are looking in the third part of Romans of how then do we live? And that is shown to us as we continue looking at this passage here in Romans chapter 12, beginning reading at verse 9. So let us hear the word of Almighty God. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lacking in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, really, our theme and our understanding of this passage comes in that last verse. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Going back to the first verses of this chapter, we have in our mind that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How do we live as Christians? That's what we have before us. And it's variegated. It's very broad in the effects of what it is as a Christian. How do we live as Christians? And we have that laid out in so many different ways that God calls us to live as Christians within this world and to overcome evil by good. Well, we say, well, then evil's going to triumph. No, it isn't. We have Almighty God telling us. We have Almighty God who created the universe, who knows better how it works than any scientist ever could think about it. We have Almighty God telling us what he blesses and what he curses. He blesses good. He curses evil. How do we live in this world? How do we live as Christians? Going back to what we heard in our call to worship, that we can rest in God. We don't have to find an answer to every idea that human beings come up with of how they can be evil. God is the one who gives grace. And God is the one in whom we can rest. You know, when we start living in this world, and even as we start reading this passage, we can say, well, how can I do that? I had a beautiful old woman say to me once when we were talking about the Lord's Supper, and I read the form for the Lord's Supper, and her mind was getting a little weak, and she said to me, how can I do that? Because there's a list of things we're supposed to do as we think about the Lord's Supper. And we start having a list like this in front of us, and we can take 6 months to go through each one. And by the time we're to the third week, we'd forget what we heard in the first week. Or maybe it'd be the second week, some of us. And I'm not pointing outward either. It's so easy, isn't it? That's why I want to take this as a whole and say, how do we live as Christians in the world where evil seems so often to be running rampant? We as Christians seek to be obedient to God, to seek to be in service to God, and let God deal with it. Because guess what? God will deal with it a lot better than I will. And God will cause it to work out, of course, going back to Romans chapter 8, to our good and to His glory. We can rest in God. In a world as frenetic as it is, where everybody is frantically running which way, and we become as human beings just totally worn out, looking around saying, what do I do next? We're called to seek to do good, to overcome evil by being obedient to God. The Christian life overcomes evil by righteousness. That's the theme that we want to see as we look at this passage. First of all, in verses 9 through 13, encouragements to love. In verses 14 through 16, encouragements to humility. And in verses 17 through 21, encouragements to peace. So first of all, encouragements to love. True love, without play acting. Let love be without hypocrisy. The world around us says they love, but it's always, what can I get back? As Christians, love is not what can I get back. Jesus demonstrated that love for us, self-sacrificial love. My little children, He said, let us love not in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We are to abhor evil. We are to cling to what is good. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Our culture, and we are so easily sucked in by it, loves evil, wants as much as possible. They're only restrained because they would get in trouble with the law. Or get in trouble with someone else. But brothers and sisters, we as Christians are to hate evil. Proverbs 14, 16, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Notice where this goes in this passage as well. Same place it goes there in Proverbs 14. Do not be wise in your own eyes. It's so easy for us though, isn't it? I know so much more than you guys. I know what's wrong with you. Of course, actually, the vice versa is true. We need to realize to love truly, to love our fellow people. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another with brotherly love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Brotherly love. We live in a culture that has two ideas of love. There is eros in Greek terminology, which is erotic love, and we have love we talk about, which is not really even this idea of brotherly love. You know, you hear love songs and that sort of thing. But loving one another as Christians and our fellow human beings with a love that seeks the good of our neighbor. Giving preference to one another. We have to understand, how do we live? How do we serve God? We give preference to other people. Well, then I'm not going to get anything done for myself. Guess what? So often our ambitions are the problem. I want for me. And brothers and sisters, what we really need is I want for the glory of God. Notice what the Apostle James says. You go this way and that way saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. We need to say, if God wills, this is to be to the glory of God. Philippians 2 verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Preferring other people is really what that means there in Philippians 2. Preferring other people instead of ourselves. We rejoice in hope, verse 11. Not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We have hope. We have a place to rejoice. Hope does not disappoint. We glory, Romans 5, in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Notice that connection to love. The love of God is poured out in us, and we have hope then. Even in trials, even in hardship, in the testing of our faith, in tribulation. Because our hope isn't this world, our hope is Christ. And so we can be patient. Patient because our tribulation is even in God's hands. Again, the Apostle James, verses 1-4 of the first chapter. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Our culture has no idea of patience, waiting. And we so often get caught up in that. I need it now. I need it yesterday. Think of David. I love the example of David. What did he do? When God said, you're going to be king. He marched up to King Saul, say, out, I'm here. God puts Saul into his hands. Saul relieves himself in the same cave that David is hiding in. And does David kill him? I love David's reaction to that. David cuts off the corner of his robe. He's that close to Saul. And what is David's response? He's sorry he did that. God is the one. We need to realize, how long do we wait? David waited approximately 32 years to be king. God had promised it to him. Our hope does not disappoint. It may take time. We can be patient. Continuing in prayer. How do we get through trials and tests? By communion with God. Jesus was in prayer all the time in his ministry. As we read through the Gospels, he spent time in prayer. And how much more we mere humans need to be in access to the throne of grace. Because God hears us. Luke 18 verse 1, Jesus said, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. We can have confidence in God, that God is the one who works these things out. And we are to give of ourselves. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. We need to be ready to give to the needs of those around us. Hebrews 6, verse 10, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." That God's not going to forget that. We as Christians need to bear one another's burdens to help one another. We need to be given to hospitality. Jesus says, as he's talking about the final judgment day, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in." And they say, "No, we didn't. We failed miserably." And I look at myself as a Christian and as I seek to pastor a church and I say, I fail miserably. We need to realize, Jesus says, "As much as you gave one drink of water to one of these little ones, you did it to me." We as Christians need to seek to help and to be with those who have needs within our body, to lift them up, to bear their burdens, not least of which before the throne of grace in prayer, to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. And we need to be humble. We are encouraged to humility in verses 14 through 16. "Bless those who persecute you." Jesus said, Luke 6:35, one of my favorite verses, I've got a lot of them, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil." Well, look around. God's kind to the unfaithful and evil. Look at all those. Oh, wait. That's pointing at me and to us as human beings. God is kind to us. How much more then should we love our enemies? Because God loved us while we were still enemies. Rather than cursing them, that's our natural reaction. When someone's our enemy, we are to love our enemies. Look at verse 20. "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink." The possibility of salvation there. "For you will, in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head." That doesn't just mean you're going to send him to hell. That is the possibility that God is going to use our kindness to our enemies to heap the truth and the hope of salvation. And that will burn in their mind. Why does this person whom I hate and whom I'm evil to do nice things to me? Jesus said, Matthew 5:44, "I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Instead of being self-centered, our normal setting, we are to do the exact opposite. We are to share trials and joys, rejoice with those who rejoice. We are to have sympathy in serving the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:26, "If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." We are to weep with those who weep, to put an arm around them, to love them. Acts 20, verse 35, Paul reflecting on his ministry, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak." Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, as he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And we need to pray for the persecuted church across this world. Hebrews 13, verse 3, "Remember the prisons as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are also in the body." Notice, we're in this world. We can be persecuted as well. Remember those prisoners as those chained with them. And we need to be humble, verse 16. "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble." Notice where Jesus went in his ministry. Matthew 9:11. The Pharisees saw it and said to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Sinners! Ugh. Oh wait, I are one. I need the Savior. Each one of us needs the Savior. And Jesus associates with us. Jesus came to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's Mark 2:17. The sinners knew they needed redemption. If we're okay, we need to go to those who are in hardship in our community and to bring them the gospel. Not look down on them and say, well, looks like you got problems. How are they going to get out of problems? How are we going to raise people up but with the gospel? If we raise them up on a pedestal of learning how to do it better without a change of heart, all we've made is better hypocrites. They need the gospel. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? Solomon writes, there is more hope for a fool than for him. The fool can learn something. If someone is wise in their own eyes, they don't have anything to learn. And we need to be at peace. Do not repay evil with evil. 1 Peter 3:9, nor returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. We need to show good in the sight of all men, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Don't repay evil for evil, but show good. Again, we overcome this evil world by living good. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the world. Live peaceably with all men. Now, does this mean pacifism? Let them walk over you? No, certainly not. This was the commandment of God in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now God had the Israelites bring His judgment on the world around them. And we are to be careful how we react. But we are to live peaceably with all men as much as it relies on us. Notice how God overthrew the Roman Empire and turned it Christian. Was it because all the Christians walked into the center of Rome and said, this is a Christian nation now? God can change, if we look at Revelation, Satan. He did. Rome was the center of evil in the world, operated according to the book of Revelation by Satan. And he turned Rome into a Christian nation for years and years. God can do that. As much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. When forced, we are called, yes, to fight. But we are, for the most part, to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Vengeance is the Lord's. Don't avenge yourselves. Proverbs 20, verse 22. Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord, and He will save you. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. That's quoting from Deuteronomy 32, 35. Vengeance is mine, and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. God is the one who will take vengeance. We as Christians don't need to. That's the first thing that comes to mind. And as kids, it's the first thing. As soon as one steps on the other's toe, one's kicking the other. Well, he stepped on my toe. And how much do we do that as human beings? As soon as someone steps on our toe, oh, I got a right! Arr! No. Give place. Vengeance is mine. If someone is really trying to do us evil, who's going to do a better job of taking care of it? God will get it right. I won't. Instead, give food and drink to our enemies, showing true good, true love, which God has shown us, calling them to faith in Jesus Christ. And if they won't turn, it will be coals on their head. Proverbs 25, 21, and 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Overcome evil with good. So easy for us as human beings to say, no, I'm going to get a little bit of evil in here too, because then I can get ahead. No. Overcome evil with good. Through love, through humility, through peace. Instead of what we have talked about this morning so often, we are called to love. God overcomes evil with good, and we are a part of that by God's grace. And so, brothers and sisters, how do we live in this world? We can live trusting in God, resting in God, seeking to be obedient. And this world's going to take care of itself because God's the one who directs it. And so we can rest in Christ because He is the one who has given to us not only life on this world, but eternal life. Romans 8, and how much more shall He give us than every good gift? If He's given His Son for us, He'll give us what we need each and every day. We can overcome evil with good. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we will close this prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, so often we think that we need to be a little evil to fight with a world which is so embroiled in evil. To live in this world at all. And we pray, Lord, that we would rely on You. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And that then instead of seeking vengeance, instead of seeking our own, we are called to seek Your glory and Your honor. We pray, Lord, that we might truly be used of You to spread good where You have placed us in this world. We pray, Lord, that we would truly love with brotherly love those around us. That we would rejoice in Christ and hope in Him. That we would give of ourselves. That we would bless those who persecute us. That we would bear one another up in trials and in joys. And that we would be humble. That we would not repay evil with evil. That we would live peaceably with all men, knowing that vengeance is Yours. And that You overcome evil with good. We praise You, Lord, for that. We thank You that we can live resting in You in a world that is so topsy-turvy. Because You are He who is Almighty God, working all things for our good and Your glory. We pray, Lord, that You would bless us to live in thanksgiving to the God who loved us while we were evil and sinful and sent His Son to die for us. For we pray that we would live this way in thanksgiving to the Savior, to Jesus Christ. And we pray as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.